Would you?
And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, I love this when I have somebody in the studio. I have Tracy McBurney, and I keep wanting to call her McBurney, but we're not going to go there because we don't know why. But so it's Tracy McBurney. How are you, Tracy?
I'm good.
Good. So we have been discussing for the past little while, a lot of changes are going on. I mean, this has been a really crazy year. And you've noticed a lot of changes just in your practice when you have people in. So why don't we start talking about some of the things that are going on?
Okay. What's going on in the four walls of my office, or what I see is going on in the bigger?
Oh, let's start with your office.
Okay. So what's going on in the four walls of my small office these days is actually quite marvelous, I think.
Okay, so let me start with something that began maybe about 5 years ago, but it's a good place to be. As you know, I practice kinesiology. I practice muscle testing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basic muscle testing, getting a yes, no from the body, letting the muscle tell me what it's holding, what the body is holding, what different levels of the mind are holding. I always find that the most interesting of all. That you have four levels of your mind. You have an unconscious mind, which is the infant mind. That's the mind that was the mind developing in the womb all the way to 2 years old. You have the subconscious mind, which is the tape recording mind and the scanning mind. And it tape records, I'm told, 400,000 bits of information every second of every day.
Wow.
So basically, it's got tons to regurgitate back to you. And you've got the conscious mind, which is not as effective a processor. It's only about 4,000 bits of information every second. And then you've got the higher self mind. So these are all four levels of your mind. And we can read with kinesiology what your mind is thinking at any one of those levels.
Okay.
And we can read whether there's corruption in any one of those minds. September 15th, 2008, I will never forget that day. I was standing in front of a bunch of the graduating class of energy medicine, having said to them for the last 3 years, there is never corruption in the higher self mind. When you need to download something, bring it from that mind. It will always be truth. To stand in that classroom that night and have the most profound thing happen, where they're all staring at me because it was obvious to all of us that this person that we were using as the experiment that night had corruption at their higher self mind level.
Wow.
And they were all looking to me going, what do you have to say to us? Like, this just obliterates everything that you've just told us and taught us.
Wow.
And I stood there dumbfounded because I didn't know what to say. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it riled me for quite some time.
Huh.
And now I was actually very happy to have had the experience because it starts to explain so much about people here on this earth who would say, oh, well, God has guided me to do that. But clearly it was a very destructive thing that this God had so-called guided them to do. And I'm like, oh, yes, okay, that's corruption at the higher self mind level, at the highest mind that we could think from, that is corruption. So why do I start there? Because one of the things that I found in my office about 5 years ago, they led me to this. They led me to ask the person that was in front of me that day, do you believe that you have a life, a good life, after the healing of you?
Mm.
Do you believe that? That you can heal yourself and then live past that day?
Oh. Mm.
And the answer came back no.
Wow.
On all levels but the conscious mind, including the higher self mind, when I bothered to test it, the answer came back no most of the time. I don't believe that there is a life for me after the healing of me.
Wow.
I see, as I've gone into meditation, I see the healing of us as fulfillment of contract number one. Let's just call it fulfillment of contract number one. That we all have that contract with our Creator to fulfill. The fulfillment means the return. That the contract number one is our agreement that we will come here in physical body and we will return. We will return to that Creator, the truth of that Creator. We will return to love within ourselves. We will return to a state of no blame of anyone. We will return to a state of loving ourselves and loving others.
So are you saying complete enlightenment, complete consciousness?
That we will be enlightened enough
okay.
that we can be that.
Okay.
Right? Complete enlightenment, I don't like the term because, okay. you know, if you sat the Dalai Lama here, would he say that he is completely enlightened?
No.
Or would he say he's still learning?
Yeah.
He'd probably say he's still learning.
Yeah.
Right? So right. I don't like the term total.
Because complete, is that you had the problem with the complete. So,
right.
Okay. So in total alignment then with...
acceptance of ourself and our love of ourself.
Okay.
So that we move forward from that place. So are we then light? Yeah, we're light. We're love. We're loving ourselves. We're not in conflict with that anymore. We're not in conflict with that concept of loving ourselves. But until then, we are. We hold things against ourselves. We hold things against others. When we hold things against others, we hold it against ourselves. They are only our mirror. There's only one person in the room. Everywhere you go, there you are. So everyone and everything that we judge is an expression of us. Everything. 100% of the time I say that. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
Not 99, not 87, not 60% of the time that something has gotten to us. 100% of the time that something has gotten to us, positively or negatively, they are an expression of us, period. It might take you a while to figure out, well, how'd that work? What is that really? As I look and I judge this person for this, you're now telling me, Tracy, that I am that? And I would say, yes, I am telling you that you are not that specifically, but you are an expression of that which you judge. So sit yeah. down with a piece of paper and figure it out. So-and-so, I'm angry at you for, and start listing it out. So-and-so, I'm disillusioned with you because, start listing it out. I guarantee that if you spend time making that list, you will find yourself in that list. One of them will hit home. Not all of them, but one of them will speak to you and you'll go, oh, and you'll feel it right in the center of your being. You'll go, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the piece. So the healing of us, we all agreed to do. Eckhart Tolle talks about it as the pain body. We all agreed to heal that pain body. But if we don't believe that there's a life after the healing of us, so that we can now just live the way somebody like the Dalai Lama lives, where he just grows in enlightenment and learns and grows in enlightenment, but there is no pain body there governing him anymore. And he's not holding any reason for that to be here, anchoring him and calling it part of his foundation.
Right.
So if we believe that we need something to heal to be here, like this is some sort of a prison. Like if we've become so corrupted that we have forgotten, I love this phrase, we forgot to remember that we love it here.
Hmm.
And that we chose to come here. And that we wanted to come here. If we've become so corrupted in our darkness that we forgot to remember that, then we get all wrapped up in this idea that somehow we're here and this is some prison and that we're not good and we're not good enough and we've fallen from grace and now we're here to learn the things that we need to learn and heal the things that we need to heal. And once we've healed those, God will take us because God takes the good ones. I hear that so much. God takes the good ones, you know. And I would say back to them, yeah, and God leaves a lot of good ones behind, you know.
Yeah.
Like we are all good.
Yeah.
Right? So to discover that in my office is then to see, oh my God, if you're believing that, what are you now doing every day to corrupt the concept of your own healing? What are you doing to sabotage it? What energies are you working with on a daily basis that slow that process down? Because if you don't believe that you are entitled to live here and be here past the day that you are healed and that pain body is no more, and you haven't seen the Eiffel Tower yet, and you haven't seen the pyramids, and you haven't put your toes in that Pacific Ocean the way your soul has wanted to, and you haven't had children yet, and you haven't been married yet, and you haven't written that book that you always wanted to write, and you haven't seen a sunset over a Caribbean ocean, then you're going to slow that process down.
That was the only one I've done. Right? I thought, oh no, she's gone into my mind. She's listening, reading them all. Oh, the Caribbean sun, I've done that.
That's off my list.
So she's not talking about me.
So, but do you get the idea?
Yeah.
So it's like you slow the process down. You work with people that can't take you there. But not only that, you work with some people that really can take you there because you're it's so much pain now that you have to relieve some of that pain. So now you've relieved some of that pain and you're just 9,000 steps closer to the healing of you and the dissolving of this incredible pain body. So what do? You create more.
So these are our distractions and our addictions and everything, our beliefs that will pop in to distract us.
Yeah. Yeah. From our resolving of contract number one, the healing of ourself, the returning to love of ourself, the returning to acceptance of ourself, the returning to the truth of that connection, to the truth of that God, or whatever you want to call that universal source, Allah, Krishna. I don't care. I don't care what you name it. It is the principle of understanding that there is something higher and more than the expression of you, greater than the light of you that is connected to you. And so to discover that was, oh my God, wow. If somebody comes into my office and that's the only thing we do today is change that belief, really change it in every one of their minds, and we make sure that their body is connected, all five of their bodies are connected to those minds. If we change that today, that's significant. Now they are on a completely different journey. They are on a journey to no longer create more pain for themselves than the pain that they already have. They're on a journey to actually heal that which is there, to dissolve that pain body and enlighten that pain body and stop playing games. They're on a journey to really find those people who can help them. And they know that there's something really good coming after it, and they don't have to wait for the afterlife of the loss of this body and the letting go of this body to know it and to have it. So how cool is that?
That's cool.
So then that was a discovery about 5 years ago. And that really is something that I have wanted every single person that has walked into my office to hear. And now I must want other people to hear it because I'm telling you about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going beyond the classrooms that I tell all the students in the classes that I teach about it. Change that in your mind. And then they say, how? And I say, it's easy. As long as you have permission to give yourself permission. Right? And some people don't. They don't have permission. They do not have permission within themselves to give themselves permission.
Wow.
The giving themselves permission belongs to somebody else. Somebody else has the power to give them permission. It's as easy as saying to yourself, I now give myself permission.
Right.
To release all blocks. And I'm saying it slowly so people can write it down.
Okay.
I'm giving myself permission to release all blocks and all reversals to continuing to believe that there is no life for me and no good life after the healing of me and after the enlightening of my pain body. I release all blocks to continuing to believe this now. now and forever, in all time, all space, all eternity, simply, safely, permanently, painlessly, and peacefully. For the people that feel like that shift hasn't happened for them, they look and you say, well, Tracy, how would I know? I'd say, look, look at your behavior. If it still looks like you're sabotaging the healing of you, finding yourself in places where you just don't seem to get anywhere, then obviously there was some block to you giving yourself permission. Then I would say, try this. It's come to my attention that I may be believing that there is no life for me after the healing of myself and the lightening up of this pain body. And if this is true, this is not okay with me. Not anymore. And I release all blocks and all reversals to allowing myself to change my mind about this. And I'm doing this now. Now and forever, in all time, all space, all eternity, simply, safely, permanently, painlessly, and peacefully. And now you see what happens. And now you watch. I call this to my clients, I say, this is you being able to check up on me. This is you being able to check up on you and on me and how we've worked together on this day to change your life. Because now you get to leave my office or my classroom and you get to look and see, is it changing? Is it changing? Are the way people are showing up in my life, is it changing? And then you get to come back 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, because it's never the next week because there's too much that's gone on. You get to come back and you get to say, this changed, Trace. It did. I saw it. I saw the behavior in my husband change. It's changing for the better. And you get to say, and I saw this change in my son, and I saw this change at work, and I saw this change. But Tracy, this didn't. My relationship with money didn't change one bit. I say, okay, let's see if that's where we're guided to work tonight or today. So that knowing that there is a life for you after the healing of you is incredibly important. It frees you to feel safe to fulfill contract number one, to know that there's something more for you to do on this earth with your time now that you are in a place of loving yourself, that there is still more for you to do. There is still more that you can enjoy and more fun for you to have. That it's not all over now because you made that choice. And I think that's important, because how many leaders of our countries do we have in high position that have not fulfilled contract number one? How many teachers in our school? How many mothers of our children? How many fathers of our children? How many people in great power have not fulfilled contract number one? They are not loving themselves. They are not in a place where they have let go of blame, and they are not loving others. They have not come to a place where they are really realizing their connection with oneness, and yet they hold positions of great power and potentially great power over us. And we accept it because we all think this is the way. This is the only way. And nobody ever called to our attention that we could question this. I think the Muslims call this to our attention because they put so much attention to the afterlife. Everything is about the afterlife. But I'm just not convinced that I'll go there with them to say that the afterlife has to be when I have left this physical body. I'll have my afterlife in this life, in my physical body.
I like that.
Thank you for calling my attention to a place that I was not paying attention to. That I did not believe I would get. Or could have the afterlife in this life. no giving up of my physical body required in this process. I will do it in this life, in this body. And I can do it because I now accept that there is a life after healing. So that's kind of old news, but that I had to begin there because that was the beginning of a really big change in my office. So this year has been a really powerful year. There's been some really, really incredible people who I found books that they've written, and they've gone where I haven't gone yet, where I don't take myself and where I won't take myself. And God bless them for doing it. And I think the first one would be Lynn Grabhorn, who's not here anymore. Right. And I want to get the title right. I wrote it down. It's called Dear God, What's Happening to Us? Halting Eons of Manipulation. Now, she's not here anymore. She's passed on.
Right.
And I am in no way, shape, or form looking you in the eyes tonight and saying to you, go out, buy that book and read it. Because I'm a very open-minded person. Really open-minded person, probably more open-minded than most people that I know. And I found the first 7 chapters of this book a real stretch, like a real stretch. But I was so appreciative of where she took me by the end of this book, because she taught this practitioner, this counselor, this energy medicine person and teacher that I am, she taught me to build a protocol. She brought that to my attention. She started to really put into words that I could understand, that you could understand. She started to explain to us, please accept that there is a battle between light and dark. She wanted us to accept that there was a battle in the universe between light and dark, and that could get you all lost from chapters 1 to 7. But it wasn't a stretch for me to accept that what she was saying is, there is a battle in you between light and dark.
Right.
And there is a battle in your neighborhood between light and dark, your little world. And there's a battle in your bigger world here that CNN News reports on between light and dark. Don't kid yourself, there's a battle. And what she said is, you have more power over who you give your power to in this battle than you've ever thought you did. So call your attention to that. Wake up. What I had been doing in my office before I found her book is I was waiting for people to have gotten to a level of consciousness in their own evolution where they could come into my office. And I am clairaudient, so I would hear their guides say to me, Tracy, it's time to change the guards. It's time to change the guides in the unseen world. One of her guides operates in darkness, and it's time for that to be changed. In other words, she has achieved a level of consciousness where it's time for that change to happen. So do that with her today. And I would go, wow, cool, okay. It wasn't until Lynn's book dropped into my hands that I went, oh, what you're telling me is, don't wait. Don't wait until somebody has gotten to a place where their consciousness could even speak, you know, could even be at a place where I could be told this piece of information. Don't wait. If they have a level of consciousness where they could even find this piece of information, where they could even find your affirmations, do it now. Do it right now. So I think she had 4 or 5 affirmations in her book. And I went through them and I read them and I did them. And I started to think, well, wait a minute. It's the Virgo in me, right? It's just that Virgo that just kind of went, well, wait a minute. You forgot some things. There are some things that are not there.
Which makes sense because she's been gone now 5 years. So, you know, almost six or something like that.
Something
anyway,
like that.
Yeah. And so the times have changed as your own practices changed.
Oh, yes.
You know, times have changed.
And the open doors have changed immensely and the open, yes.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and I went, okay, well, what is not here that should be here? What is not here? I went, well, she doesn't talk about all 5 of our bodies. She doesn't talk about giving the power back to pure love and pure light to guide all five of our bodies. She doesn't address the fact that people could be very corrupted in the truth of this God. Like incredibly corrupted in the truth of this God. And in fact, I see that every day. I am so entertained to do this in my office these days. More and more, I find people, I'm always testing subconscious because really that's a lot of the time where the problems are. And I test subconscious and I say, okay, subconscious mind of so-and-so, please say, I believe in God. And I get a yes or a no. I'm not attached to it. It's just, I get a yes or a no. It might not be God. It might be Allah. Whatever the name is you want to call it is fine with me. So let's say we get a yes. Yes, I believe in God. Do you believe that God operates in love? Yes, I do. Do you believe that God operates with light? Yes, I do. Do you believe that God loves you? Well, no, now that you ask, no. It's hilarious. And they're looking going, what happened? Like the arm just goes down. They're looking going, what happened? Like, what just happened? And then I ask the next question. Do you believe that God cares about you? No. What just happened, Trace? Do you believe that God cares about everybody else? Oh, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Do you believe that God operates unconditionally with unconditional love? Some people will say yes, yes. Do you believe that God operates in unconditional love to you? Well, no, now that you asked. Now that you bothered to ask, I'll tell you how corrupted I am.
Right.
Do you believe that God judges you? Well, yes. Do you believe that God judges others? Well, no.
Wow.
Just you. Yes, just me.
Wow.
Just me. Or no, we get sometimes God judges everyone. We get sometimes that this God is not unconditionally loving, right?
We've been taught this.
Right. So to me, it's the truth of God has become so corrupted. So corrupted. And so as I wrote this, because I wrote out these affirmations for the students of psychology of disease that I teach at the Institute of Holistic Nutrition, I also wrote them out for the students who were in my How I See It Now class. I wanted them to have it. I wrote them out for all the clients that come into my office and anybody that is a friend that I feel could even hear this, I will email them to. Because we need to know this now. Like we need to clean this up. And I've had some friends who have said to me very openly, because they like to challenge me, which is great. I love that. I don't need to be right. And they would say, Tracy, how can you believe in this God? Like, how can you believe in this God? When you look at what Hitler did on this earth, how can you believe in this God? This God didn't stop that. Millions of Jewish people gassed in chambers. This God didn't stop this. How can you believe in an unconditionally loving God when this God doesn't stop this? What's going on right now in North Vietnam? This God is not stopping this. What's going on in the wars and the starvation all the way over in the other end of the world? This God's not stopping this. How can you believe that this God that you speak about so vehemently, that you go out and teach about, how can you believe that this God exists here? And I say, precisely my point. You have proved precisely my point. There is so much evil here on this earth that you're right, my friend. This God does not exist here in very much of a quantity. Not anymore. This God that we pray to, this Allah that we pray to a bastardized version of this God. Or we don't speak to this God at all. Or we are now connected to something that is not this, that is so foreignly not this God, some negative dark force that we call this God. But it is so far removed from the truth. You've precisely proven my point.
But that God, see, I would just say, well, I mean, it's a funny thing because part of me wants to say, well, that's what free will is about. And the other part of me wants to say, well, you're God, so
why don't you change this? Yeah. Why don't you change this? Why don't you pick those bad people up and pull them off the planet? Why don't you abolish all evil? You're God. You're all powerful. Why don't you do this? Why don't you save us? And see, it's interesting. Now I have to go to this other book for a second.
You were going to tell us, though, that those that list you're going to give
oh,
us.
Yes. Okay. I wanted, because it's the strangest thing. I have a website that is under construction that's really not under construction. It's actually good. But the online course, the nutritional symptomatology course that's connected to it, has been deeply under construction now for over a year. And now I think I probably have to do something to disconnect the two so that really the website could be up and running without necessarily the online course waiting for the online course. But anyway, because it's not there, we were having a conversation and I said, is there some way that I can hook these affirmations into your site so that people can actually access them if they'd like to access them? My recommendation is that you read them out loud. And I'm not attached to whether you insert God there or Krishna there or Allah there. I don't care. Universal source, I don't care. It's just I am becoming quite attached to millions and millions and millions of people reading them.
Nice.
Like quite attached to that. And in those affirmations, you will find one called Qualities of Life. And that is the only affirmation that people would be guided back to over and over and over again as you find qualities of your life that are not working well, that can't possibly be guided and governed and guarded and supported and nurtured by 100% pure light and love, because it's too screwed up and there's too much of a mess and you're too confused and it's too yucky. So there's got to be some corruption here. There's got to be some battle when it comes to me and relationships. There's got to be some battle when it comes to me and intimacy or my own sexuality, because look at the mess that has been encircling my life for the last 15 years with regard to that topic. So with regard to that, you would go to that particular affirmation. And it's kind of written like, from the spark of pure love and light that resides within me, I connect to source. See, source can be everything. Mm-hmm. I connect to source and I give thanks. And from this place of connection and oneness, I now ask that from this day forward, my capacity to thrive in relationships, for example, my capacity to be in relationships, my capacity to find happiness in relationships, whatever it is that you want to fill in, shall be guided, governed, guarded, supported, and nurtured from the place of 100% love and pure light. A pure love that has never been corrupted or reprogrammed by energies of darkness, never been touched by evil, or a pure love and light that has fully reconciled its own darkness and now stands in that pure light to be with me. I release all blocks and all reversals to the acceptance and allowance of this change now. Now and forever, in all time, all space, all eternity, simply, safely, permanently, painlessly, and peacefully. And then it goes on to just make sure that you declare that you understand that you are surrendering this now, the timing of this, to this God of pure love and pure light, this Allah of pure love and pure light, because you don't want to get in the way of that. You don't want to do harm. You don't want to do harm to yourself or another trying to push something before its time. So let it take 12 hours to make that change, 14, a day and a half or 3 weeks. Leave it to that God of pure love and pure light that cares for you and loves you. So the only recommendation that I make with those affirmations is there is the first one, which is there first for a reason, because it's the affirmation about Supreme Being, about that source. And it's the one you need to clear up first, because if you don't clear that one up first, then you haven't cleared that channel so that you know that it's safe to go call on that to help you.
Right.
And to share these things that are struggles for you with that energy. Share them, not allow it to take it over.
Right.
Which, so those affirmations will be available. I will give them to you tonight, and then you will figure out how to get them on your website. And so I don't know how long that's going to be, but.
Can you send it to me via
email?
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm sending it to you via email. Yeah.
It'll be done tonight.
Okay, so that's very exciting. And it will be real interesting. Like, I don't know how you track things here, but it will be really interesting to see how many people logged on to get those, because that'll make my soul very happy.
Okay.
Okay, so that brings me back to this idea of this God that just doesn't take these evil people off the planet. These evil leaders, it just doesn't, you know, obliterate them. And I think that the best verbiage for this, wording for this, has come from this new book that I got my hands on, which became quite by accident. I bought it for my sister-in-law for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up at Costco. I was reading the back of several of these books, and I thought, okay, she's going to like this. She's going to like this. I think this will work for her. And couldn't get it out of my mind. Didn't buy one for me, because I'm too inundated with so much other stuff. Didn't buy one for me. I called her in March and said, could I borrow the book? I'm going away to Cuba. I have a little bit of time. I'd like to read it. Could I borrow the book? She said, sure. It's like under a pile of books. I haven't gotten to it yet. I said, okay. So I borrow the book. I start to read it in Cuba. It's a book called The Shack. Okay. The Shack. It's a fiction book, but it's really not.
Right.
It's kind of another Da Vinci Code. It's kind of like you sit there and you go, okay, where is fiction ending and where is truth beginning and what's going on here? And buttons are being pushed here and things are being moved here. And oh my God, this isn't just a book.
Hmm.
This is a whole healing journey in this thing that I'm holding in my hands. So it's The Shack, and it's by a gentleman by the name of William Paul Young. And apparently he's Canadian, we find out as we Google him. We find out he's Canadian from Alberta. How cool is that? And I hear that you're trying to reach him now to see if you can interview him. That would be very cool. Maybe I could sit in that chair while you're doing that. Anyway, this book is astounding. It is absolutely astounding. It is a true help to people, I think, if you read it with an open mind and an open heart. If you allow your heart to be open in this book. This isn't just a book. This isn't just fiction. It has the potential to heal. It has the potential to transform. It's a transformational book. He attempts to help us, and I truly believe that the truth of this God is working through this man's words for us, hitting a whole audience of people that might not be hit by the Black Eyed Peas. There was a song that they did. My son tells me it was several years ago when I thought it was brand new. He goes, Mom, that was several years ago. And I came home going, oh my God, there's this really cool rap song. It's a Black Eyed Peas. And I started to sing a little bit. And my son rolls his eyes and goes, Mom, that's old. But really the truth of this God was in the words of that song as well. And I thought, wow, the audience that song is hitting is a completely different audience than the audience that's going to read this, The Shack, or maybe the audience that's going to hear this, or maybe the audience that's going to listen to Wayne Dyer. You know. So this
Although The Shack apparently has been on the New York bestseller list for 38 weeks.
So. I'm so excited. I hope people are not just reading this as a book, though. I hope they are allowing this to be a healing journey for themselves. This man and what is working through him is helping us to understand the presence of evil here on this planet and why it is here and why it is still here. Helping us to understand why it is the truth that this God is here, that the truth of this God is here, and why this God is not operating in the way that you think this God should operate, or my client thinks this God should operate, taking care of all of this, moving all of this, getting all of this off the planet. And it does have to do with free choice. It does have to do with this concept that what this God in this book delivers to us is, most of you think that I want to take over your life. You do not return to me because you think you will lose your life in this process. So you don't. But I don't want to take your life. I want to share it. I want to share your dreams. I want to share your life. I want to share your thoughts. I want us to grow together. I am not interested in taking your life. And so then this God would say, because you don't believe that at levels of your being, and because you are so convinced that I want to take you over and overpower you and use you, because you're so convinced of that, it is one of the reasons why you don't return. And yet, if I operated like that, then that's exactly what you would see me doing. Taking over the lives of the people that you see are misbehaving, that are doing evil, that are being destructive. But I don't do that. I don't do that. I submit. The word was submit. I submit to you. I operate in a submissive way. I allow you to make your mistakes. I allow you to find your way.
Yeah.
I allow what it is that you want to do, and I allow you the time to figure it out. We have, this is not a quote, we have the power within each one of us to do evil and to do good.
What's your definition of evil?
Definition of evil. Wow.
The one that I have heard that I sort of have accepted is, you know, anything that blocks us from love or light. Anything that is.
Okay, so to me, I don't know what my definition of evil is. I see that as destructive. That would be my definition of destructive.
Okay.
To block something. But I don't really know what my definition of it, but it's certainly worse than that.
Okay.
It's evil to me is worse than just the blocking of another one's path. Right? It's literally it's blocking it and then doing harm, like purposely doing harm. Like consciously turning around and with all the conscious knowledge in the world doing harm. With the absolute intention to do that. That to me is evil.
Okay.
When that darkness has taken over even the conscious mind and the conscience, even our conscience has been taken over by that darkness, then to me that's the presence of evil. But, you know, I'd never really thought about it until now.
Yeah.
So this book helps us to reconcile that. It helps us to understand that. It gives us an answer to that question.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Then that God, if there is a God, then that God really might not be so interested in controlling me. But it's still a stretch for somebody to get to a place of saying that God's interested in helping me. No, that God's not interested in helping me. That bully's still in the yard. That God didn't pick that bully up and take him to another space. It's interesting. This God helping us. Carolyn Miss talks at some length about this right now. She's got a book coming out. It's not out yet. It's called Defying Gravity. Do a plug for her, even though the book's not out. I'm so looking forward to that book.
We're going to get Tracy back as a co-host. She's to be the co-host for all of Hay House's authors.
Who she loves intently, most of them. Anyway, she talks to us about grace. And it really hit home because about 5 years ago now, I was going through a bit of a tough time. My girlfriend's quite intuitive. She came over that night to be of some help. She was guided to bring me a book. She said, I brought you a book. They told me to bring you a book. And the book was face down, so I didn't know what it was. It was quite a thick, soft cover book. And before she even put the book in my hands, I started to cry. And then the crying turned into full-blown anguish. And then from that anguish place, which I don't remember ever being in this life in a state of anguish, ever. From that state of anguish place, I felt like I was in a one-way conversation with God. And I was pissed. I was pissed. I was screaming from inside of me. I was so angry at this God for having abandoned me and forsaken me. I was so angry at this God for having left me here to endure this pain and this suffering. And it was a one-way conversation. I was not the least bit interested in hearing one word that this God had to say. I was just going to blow my stack. I had no idea what this book was, but it put me into a place of absolute anguish. And when that was done about 25 minutes later, no, I'm serious. Oh. It was, and my poor girlfriend's looking going, what did I do? Like, I just came to make things better. Look at her. This is not good. She was distressed beyond belief. She just stood there paralyzed. She was just like, and I couldn't even move.
Right.
When I turned it over, the title of the book was What's Happened to Divine Grace? I had no idea what that meant. I couldn't read the book. Every time I went to read pages of the book, I got so flustered and my eyes couldn't concentrate. There was just so much energy in that book that I couldn't go there. I never have read the book.
Wow.
I bought a copy of this book and I got guided to make sure I bought a first edition, and I have no idea why. And anybody that I've told to buy the book, I've said, do the same thing. Find a first edition of this book. And I have no idea why I'm telling you that. You're going to ask me who the author was, and all I can remember is Stephen something. Something that began with an A. I've never read the book. There are clients that ask me to this day if they can be in the presence of the book for their session.
Wow.
They hold the book, and what they say is, I'm just in a two-way channel with God. And I just use you, Tracy, to ask the questions. So you're really good at asking the questions and digging. And then I just go and get my answers from that God. I'm like, okay, no problem. Life's easy for me. I'll just ask those really good questions. It wasn't until I sat in this I Can Do It show that just happened here in Toronto in April. It wasn't until I sat in that class with Carolyn Miss. And she started to talk about grace. She started to talk about the seven graces and how they could literally, they were the mitigating force. I don't know if I'm using the right word. My mother will probably chastise me if I'm not. They were the balancing force for the seven deadly sins. And her whole 4 hours was talking about these graces, the grace of reverence and how it balanced the sin of pride, the grace of counsel, the grace of wisdom and knowledge. She talked about the sins, but mostly she talked about the graces. She wanted us to know of the graces. To me, the graces are angelic. When you evoke the grace, if you can recognize that there is a spark of pure love and light that resides within you, that although your connection to this God might have become bastardized within your mind, that it is still pure in this place. And if you can accept that there is a spark of pure love and pure light within you that has never been extinguished and never will, then it is from this spark that you can evoke grace from within yourself. And literally just to say that, I evoke grace. Whether you say it outside of yourself or inside of yourself, and there is a feeling, if you are a feeling person, there's a feeling that comes along with that. And if you can't go there, and if you cannot accept that there is that spark within you, if you haven't done that little piece of work to change your belief, I'm giving myself permission to release all blocks and reversals to changing that belief and accepting that there is a spark of pure love and pure light that resides within me that has always been there and has always known the truth about my connection to that God, that Allah, that source. I hope I did it slow enough that somebody could write that down.
Is it going to be something that you're sending?
I suppose I could.
Okay.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. So if you're not going to evoke it, if you find no feeling from that, it just means that you've got some disconnect in the acceptance of that spark within you. Then it is literally to ask for grace to descend. Grace, come. Come to this relationship. Come to this classroom. Come and be, graces, come and be with my husband and I in this moment. We are falling. We are in sin. We are falling into darkness. We can't find our way out. Grace, come and be with us. And you don't need to know what grace is coming, or if all seven graces are descending upon you and upon that classroom. And it was amazing. Like, I was having several challenges in a classroom experience a couple of weeks ago. And to literally claim grace, grace in that classroom for me, the teacher, for me, the woman, there was an aspect of me as a woman that was there in that room that day that was feeling brutalized and attacked. There was an expression of me as teacher that was feeling brutalized and attacked in that moment. And I claimed grace for the woman who stood there, which was me in my head. Mm-hmm. And I claimed grace for the teacher of me in this classroom. I claimed grace for the person who had all of that darkness, who was delivering that darkness into this classroom. I claimed grace for them. And I claimed grace for every student in the room who was now in that battle with us, so that they could observe it. They were observers. And it was quite incredible to feel a change of energy that happened within about 3 minutes of asking for that.
Wow.
And the clarity that came afterwards as to what direction the teacher that was me needed to direct the class to move away from that, to give that no power.
Right.
Well, that's just not for me. That's for all of us. Divine grace is operating in here, but we have forgotten. We have forgotten the power of grace. It's not just the grace that you say at the table. It's the power to allow grace to descend, to help you, to bring you out of bad situations and negative interactions. I'm certain that this President Obama knows this. I am certain that he claims grace for himself, for every single person in the room in which he speaks. I'm sure he's even claiming grace for every United States citizen. Maybe he's even gone so far as to claim grace for every person in this world. I don't know. But I was very grateful that now there is a book coming that I can sit and digest and understand consciously what my being knew was missing. It knew it was missing. And as I'm in that one-way conversation with this God that day in anguish, so angry, I obviously was in my own corruption with this God, believing that now that it was gone, grace was gone too. And now I was stuck. And now I was stuck in these sins. And now I was stuck in this darkness. And now I was victim. And now I'd never find my way out. And now you'd taken with you the power that would be available to me. And really, now what I see, you'd taken my angels. Because grace flies on the wings of angels. So as you leave, you take them with you, and they are my angels. It was somebody, the DNA activation piece years ago now, that was sitting in the presence of a gentleman by the name of Terry. I forget his last name now. That's not so good. Because it was a wonderful piece of information he gave. Soul, yeah, throw it out if you know.
Oh, I do. I'm
please, like, please throw it out.
He's amazing.
He is. Yeah. And he was the first person to ever talk to me and all of us that day about different soul types, that there are different soul types here on the planet, and that I had a soul type. And to literally sit and listen to him that day, and through the DNA activation piece, we found out that I am an angelic soul type. And we also found out that that's not the soul type of my father, nor is it the soul type of my mother. And that one of the reasons why I struggle to actually have a relationship of connection with my father at any great level was because we were two different soul types. So it was like a PC computer trying to connect to a Macintosh computer when there was no common language by which they could communicate through.
And I'm going to get it in a second because I remember that.
Oh, you're going to pop that
end.
Up, are you?
You know, I remember that it almost comes up always at the end. So it's a last name that's either with a V or Terry and Vera. It's
yep.
Maybe that's what I need to do. Terry and Vera Van Horn.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So it was Terry Van Horn that was speaking that day. So he guides that piece. So I think the anguish came from the fact that because I could not discern the presence of my God in truth, that my angels were not there now either. Hmm. And therefore grace was not there. And therefore there was no way out. There was no way out. So what Carolyn Meese delivers to us is a way out. The way out is grace. Call on grace. Evoke grace. These are things that I talk about in my office. These are things that are very much things that I try to teach to clients, tools that they can walk out of my office. I think on some level, I want to be doing something else at some point because I keep trying
giving
to find
them away.
Yeah. It's like here.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, it is good.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been an interesting time in my office, and yeah, just a really, really good time in my office, really just watching new, incredible tools that clients can use to really move through their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. I think it's important because I think that we are all being called to show up in a very different way in 2010. And that this is a very powerful time from June until the end of December to help us to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand it. I'm not an astrological person at all, so I don't understand it. But I know that they're saying the markets are doing a rise in the right direction. And I think that's a reflection of something going on in the planets as well. And really, it's to give us that lift up because we need it. Because Greg Braden reminds us that there are some challenges coming in 2010. And the more people that can have their hearts open, working together with open hearts, the better off we will be and the less those challenges will affect us negatively. And if you want to know more about that, you really need to get on his website. Like that's Greg Braden, G-R-E-G-G, Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N. He has a new book out, Fractal Time. There I am again, Hay House. He's got a new, hey, Hay House, you want to hire me? He's got a, I'd love that. He's got a new book out, Fractal Time. And he talks about fractal time patterns. And he really wanted to write the book so we could get a real heads up from a scientific perspective as to what we should expect now and into 2012 so that we are not afraid. And he's got really good information about that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that he did say is there's a lot of repeating of fractal time patterns that are converging in 2010. And he does give us a way to minimize the effects or neutralize them completely. And it's all about love. It's all about getting over our crap, opening up our hearts, working together, and changing the magnetics of the planet and raising that from working together from this place, which is why we need to really give the healing of our pain bodies to pure light and pure love. You take it. You take it. If I've left it in the hands of darkness, no more. No more. The healing of my pain body from this day forward will be guided, governed, guarded, supported, and nurtured from 100% pure light and pure love. I am creator of my life, and I declare this is the way it will be. And that is an incredibly powerful thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
People feel it. As soon as they say it, they feel it. They feel a shift in their body, almost a letting go, almost like an elastic band just releases. Because now you've given the power to help you over to a force that actually wants to heal it, not just keep you in an ever-ending cycle of darkness, but actually wants to heal it. And now you can heal it because you know there's a life after the healing of it.
Well, haven't you given us a lot to think about?
Yeah, isn't that cool? Come talk to me more. Come see me if you want, or just get on your website and pull off the affirmations and say them.
Okay. So hopefully we'll have those up shortly. And if not by tonight, then definitely by tomorrow morning. Well, thank you, Tracy.
Hey, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. It was fun. It was really fun. Again, it was fun.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to do something about this fun thing. make it more, a little bit more often. All right. Well, as always, very enjoyable. And I knew it was going to be a special night. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you too.
All right.